Come on, get the peace of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together and give God a praise. Look at somebody and say, I'm getting my joy back. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm getting my peace back. Come on, and look at somebody and say, I'm getting my hope back. Come on, and look at somebody and say, getting my joy. One, two, three. I've got my joy. For your peace. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid, I will wait on you. I will wait on you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. The Lord, say, the Lord. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid?
Say it again, say.
The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid?
Yeah.
I will wait on you. I will wait on you. I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
I will remain. Come on, say it. I will remain.
Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I trust.
I will trust in you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
Come on, say it again. I will wait. I will wait.
I will wait on you. I will wait on you.
I will trust.
I will trust in you. I will trust in you.
I will remain safe.
I will remain confident in it. I will see the goodness of the Lord.
Oh, oh, oh.
I will remain.
Set our hope. Say,
we set our hope on you. We set our hope on your love. We set our hope on the one who is the everlasting God. You are the everlasting God. You are the everlasting. We set our hope.
Come on.
I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord.
I will see.
I will see the goodness. See the goodness. See the goodness of the Lord.
Time say,
I will see the goodness, see the goodness, see.
worship the Lord. Come on.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, oh God. Thank you for your everlasting love. Thank you, Father, that everything rests on you.
Yes.
Thank you, oh Lord. All we have to do is think of everlasting, your truth, your faith, your love for us, everlasting, Father. And we thank you, oh God, Father. We come boldly now this morning, Father, as you said we could, seeking you. Thank you, oh God, for your grace and your mercies, oh Lord. Renewing us each morning. Thank you for waking us up this morning, Father, and allowing us to come out and worship you. Father, I thank you, Father, that we can worship you. Thank you that you got up out of that grave. Thank you that you rose, Father. Thank you that we can put all of our faith and trust in you, oh God. Oh, Father, I just thank you. I exalt you. I lift you up. I magnify your name, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning, thanking you, Father, for allowing us to worship you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, God.
Yes.
Father, there have been many reports this week of sickness, Father, but we know that it's all in your hands, Father. Oh, Father, I just ask you to touch those that are in need of you this morning, oh Lord. Some that are on their sick bed, oh Lord, and don't know who to turn to. Oh, Father, speak a word in their ear this morning, Father. Oh, Father, and then there are those, Father, that we know that you have raised this morning, those that you've touched and healed this morning. Father, thank you, for we've had praise reports this week of your healing grace and mercy, oh Lord.
Yes.
And we give you thanks, Father. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, look in on this congregation, Father,
yes,
this
God.
Morning, oh Lord.
Yes,
bring
Lord.
Us together, oh Lord. Knit us in your in your word and under your wings, oh Lord, that we may be one, oh Lord. We thank you, Father. Thank you, oh God. Bless your holy name, oh God. And Father, as the be with us through the furtherance of this service, oh Lord. Father, I ask you to bless our pastors and our leaders and our teachers. Bless the children's ministry, Father. Oh, Father, touch the leaders, Father, this important step in their lives, Father. Oh, Father, I just thank you, Father. And Father, bless the furtherance of this service. Be with us, oh Lord. Change our hearts. Renew in us a right spirit that we may continue to walk and seek you, oh God. Father, and I ask you to bless the pastor, anoint the word, use it, Father, that we may be food for our souls, that we may continue to look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The band is doing something really nice. Just feel it. Come on. Just lift those hands and receive the peace. Cassandra, would you come down here to the front? I want some of the L3 ladies. Tamala, a few of the other ladies, if you come down and lay hands on her, she's having surgery. Is it tomorrow? Tomorrow's having surgery tomorrow. Come on. Some of you ladies, Griselda, come down and lay hands on her. God, touch Cassandra in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for healing in her sinuses. you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for peace. Thank you for peace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We also want to send prayers to Sam and Stephanie Barber, Sam's uncle, which is at their house right now. He's on his last day. They're expecting him to pass any moment. Sam, Stephanie, we're praying for you. Samantha is here and Mark is here in service. Let's strengthen the Barbers right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, thank you for the life of Uncle Jerry. Just pray, Lord, that you would just receive him in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Give peace to the family in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
I will see the goodness, see the goodness, see the goodness.
Let's say our affirmation prayer together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me, and I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree, according to 3 John 2, that in every area of my life, I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Come on, give the Lord a hand praise.
Stay standing for just a moment. There is nothing like his presence. We just want to welcome you to the presence in Owosso. So honored to have each and every one of you. While you're still standing, I want you to just take a moment, find someone right around you and just greet them. If you're watching with us online this morning, we appreciate you being here. Take this time now, all of our kids, if you will stand and make your way back. We'll let our presence kids go to their service. So thankful for our children. Awesome. Well, welcome again, and will you please join me, and let's welcome our pastor Alvin Frugier as he comes.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. And all the time. There has never been a time when God wasn't good. Y'all know that, right? So look, I got good news for you. When you go to bed tonight, get you a good night's sleep. And you wake up in the morning. Rico, stop right there. Rico. Listen, I just want you to give a great hand to my friend Rico Bennett, helping us out on the drums. We'll probably see more of him. Appreciate him. Man, I tell you what, you spend like a minute with him and you just realize how great of a brother he is. But I was saying that when you go to bed tonight, you're going to get up in the morning. God's still going to be good. Isn't that cool? Still going to be good. I want to
Shout out to my wife. What's up, girl? She's with grandkids, and she's being a great mommy and a great gee-gee, and she deserves to do that. Amen. So thank God for her, and I just want you to just keep those people that we mentioned in your prayers this week, Cassandra, Tatris, and the Barbers. And just keep Ron Jackson in your prayers, and Will Williams, and anybody else that you can think of. You know, while I'm thinking about it, here in probably by next week, have y'all ever recognized that black box that's hanging in the fellowship halls, a little like a drop box? You need to go look at it. Just go look at it. But next week we're going to have a sign on it that says prayer requests. Put prayer requests here, and we're going to get some little cards printed, and then you can just place your prayer requests in there. And we promise to pray throughout the week. Some of the times that we will pray are every Sunday morning at 8:30, during our prayer push on fourth Saturday prayer push. And then, you know, something I haven't mentioned for a while, and that is this. Every day, well, weekdays, really, Monday through Friday, at 1:11 in the afternoon, 1:11, set your alarm, and we all pray for the church at that time. Why do we set it for 1:11? It's because it's the blessing that I give to you every Sunday at the end of the service, Deuteronomy 1:11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you, just as he has promised you. So set your phone for 1:11, Monday through Friday. We could pray together every day. Isn't that awesome? And so here in a week or so, you'll see a sign on that black box in the fellowship hall. And there'll be some cards on top. Just take a card, write it. You can say this is anonymous, or you can say your name. It doesn't matter. And we'll begin to pray for that. Amen? I think that's awesome. Well, God is good. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? I'm kind of excited. I love the opportunity to encourage God's people. And so that's what we're going to do today. Turn with me to Psalm 55 and 22. And as you're doing that, I just want to mention that next Sunday is going to be an awesome Sunday. Oh, and by the way, we usually have the youth go into the fellowship hall, but I wanted y'all to stick with me in service today. And next Sunday is our Energy Youth Takeover, and you'll see some of the youth up here singing. You might see a youth on the drums, percussion, sound, media, cameras, and doing the offering. And so it's fourth Sunday Energy Youth Takeover. And also next week, next Sunday, I'm doing an improv sermon. Look at somebody say, boom! How many of you have never experienced an improv sermon here at the Presence? You've never? Raise your hand if you never. Okay, cool. All right, so here's what happens. Improv means, well, not planned, just kind of coming up with it in the moment. And so what I do on that Sunday is I ask for a couple of pieces of information. In the past, I've asked people for like a current event. I've asked like for a movie title. You know, it could be anything. I really don't try to plan it. I just, you know. And from that little bit of information, right on the spot, I preach a message. And so that's what we're going to do next week, Improv Sermon Sunday. Be here next Sunday in a world. You know, every time they do a movie, you know, trailer, it always starts with in a world. So next Sunday,
in a world where there is no studying during the week for a message, Alvin Frugier will do an improv.
Turn with me to Psalm 55:2. Psalm 55:2, and lift your Bible up, your phone, whatever you have, and just say this: I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Come on, say it again. I will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. God, thank you for the prayer that has already gone forth in this house. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And we just pray, Lord, that you would teach us today, that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to take a little drink of water.
Great worship this morning. Great worship. Great worship. All right, are you there? I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never, there it is, allow the righteous to be shaken. I want to use as a subject this morning, cast your burden. Would you look at somebody and say, cast your burden? Look at somebody else and say, cast your burden. So, I want to encourage you today to cast your burden upon the Lord. A burden is something that is weighing heavy on you. A burden is something that is weighing heavy on you. That is what burden means. Something that's weighing heavy on you. And let me just tell you, David had one doozy of a burden. I always love to look at the background of why David wrote a psalm. And you all know that all of the psalms are songs. And I'm a songwriter, so I know that a lot of the songs that I write, not all of them, but a lot of them, are from an experience that I've had. I will sing one at the end of this message. So David had one doozy of a burden. So when David says, cast your burden, he's not talking about a headache or a flat tire. He's talking about something that really weighed heavy on him. Now, I don't want anybody to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But I'm just going to ask the question because I know I've been there. Have you ever had a moment, a time, where there was something weighing really heavy on you? It was like the last thing you thought about when you went to bed, and it was the first thing you thought about when you woke up. And you just had that feeling. I can't even really describe, but it's that, right? David had a real burden. As we look at Psalm 55, it is widely believed that David wrote this psalm during the time when his son Absalom orchestrated a coup to take over his father's throne. You could find that in 2 Samuel 13th chapter through the 18th chapter. Actually, in the 19th chapter, after everything went down, David was returned back to the throne. But in 2 Samuel 13 through 18 is when the coup happened. David had to hightail it out of town, and Absalom, his son, took over. So it is believed that this psalm, Psalm 55, centers around that event. So with that in mind, let's just go through. Let's start at verse 1. Everybody say again, cast your burden. Or let's read verse 1 through 8. Here's the thing I love about David. You don't ever have to worry about what David's thinking, what he's feeling. He's going to tell you he's going to lay it out. So look at verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I'm surely distracted because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Just take me, Lord, just take me. Verse 7, behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. Now, be anxious for nothing doesn't seem to fit right there, does it? But the reality is that David was even beyond anxious, but he never lost sight of who his God was. We're going to see that in just a minute. But David has a real burden. Look at verse 9. Confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around her upon her walls, and iniquity and mischief are in her midst. So the tongues David is talking about are all the people who had aligned themselves with Absalom. Absalom had basically turned the hearts of many in Jerusalem against his dad. And so what David is saying, all those who are talking against me, although, I mean, it got so bad that he had to escape for his life. And so he's saying, God, deal with them, confuse their tongues, etc. Okay. Look at verse 12. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, O man, my equal, my companion, and my family friend, who had sweet fellowship together, walked in the house of God in the throng. Let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their dwelling, in their midst. Whew. Again, in the midst of this story, it is widely believed that the person David is talking about here is a man named Ahithophel. Ahithophel, who was David's spiritual counselor. And Ahithophel betrayed David and aligned himself with Absalom. And so what David is saying, it was you. It's you. We fellowship together. We worship together. You counseled me. We were friends. We were close. And you betrayed me. Look at verse 15. Let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol. So I wanted you to turn to 2 Samuel. Look at 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. King Samuel. 2 Samuel 15. Verse 12 and 13. 2 Samuel 15. And this is when everything is going down. 2 Samuel 15, verse 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city Gilo, while he was offering the sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Then a messenger came to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. So now Ahithophel is very instrumental in making this conspiracy and this coup happen. Now look at 2 Samuel 16 and 23. 2 Samuel 16 and 23. The advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one inquired of the word of the Lord. So was all the advice of Ahithophel regarded by both David and Absalom. Ahithophel was a well-respected leader in Jerusalem. He was special counsel to the president, to the king. And so David is saying in this, it wasn't an enemy, it was you, my brother, my friend. Listen, nobody can hurt you like someone you love. And so David, this was a heavy burden because it was, I mean, he was like family. It was someone that he trusted, something that he had shared things with that he probably hadn't shared with anybody else. And here this guy has totally turned on him. But here's the thing. You can't mess with God's anointed. And it says later in 2 Samuel 17:23. I don't want to go through the whole story, but Ahithophel was now counseling Absalom and gave him some counsel. But Absalom didn't like the counsel, so he asked the counsel of somebody else. And so when Absalom no longer followed Ahithophel's advice, Ahithophel went home, set his affairs in order, and hung himself. So now back in Psalm 55, look at verse 16. So now, up to this point, God is laying out his complaint, right? And he's saying, verse 16, as for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Now look, how in the world does David just turn on a dime like that? The first 15 verses, things are going crazy. Kill him. Kill him. How could you do that? You're my friend. You could, God, you got to hear me, God. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. And then he says, as for me. That's the thing about David. He always makes his way back. Now listen, let me just say something. You need an as for me moment. After you've prayed, after you've cried, after you sought the Lord, after you've laid it down, you need to have an as for me moment. It's not the only time David used that term, that phrase. He would many times when in his lamentations, the Psalms of Lamentation, he would pour out his heart and then at the end he would say, but as for me. Listen, I know having aha moments and watershed moments, whatever that is, or, you know, that's the things that are out there. Aha, I had an aha moment. Listen, you better let your aha better be, as for me, I'm going to trust God. That better be your aha moment. At some point, you need to stop what you're doing after you have prayed and sought the Lord and get your faith underneath you and stand up and say, as for me. Come on, everybody say, as for me. This is why God, I believe, said that David was a man after his own heart. Because through everything David went through, he always knew where his help came from. He always knew where he could get relief. David was going through hell. He was. And I know I'm not the only one in my lifetime that is seems like they're going through that. But when you are even in the midst of that, no matter how bad it may seem, you have got to stand up in your faith and say, as for me. Come on, everybody say, as for me. Sometimes you got to give God an as for me praise. It's like, okay, I'm when you say as for me, what you're doing is you're forgetting about the struggle, you're forgetting about the pain, you're forgetting about the disappointment, and you have decided to give God the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of your faith. Hallelujah. Come on, look at somebody and say, as for me, I'm going to serve God. Come on, as for me, I'm going to praise God anyway. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. Verse 17 says, evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur. And he will hear my voice. Verse 18. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. For they are many who strive with me. Referring back again to all the enemies against them. Listen, David said, evening, morning, and at noon, you're going to hear my complaint and my murmur. Now listen, understand this, that David wasn't talking about pouting and whining. He was talking about crying out fervently to the Lord, who is the only one who could help him. That's what he's talking about. You don't whine and complain to God, but you do pour out your heart to him, pour out your complaint to him, cry out to him. And David said, you're going to hear it in the morning, you're going to hear it at noon, and you're going to hear it at evening. And I'm going to continue to do that until something changes. Desperate times call for desperate measures. There are some seasons in your life where you got to turn up the prayer, where you got to turn up the praise, where you got to turn up the worship and say, God, I'm going to get a little more intense until this burden lifts. And that's what David was saying. God, I'm going to keep seeking you. I'm going to keep praying to you until you take care of this. Look at verse 19. God will hear and answer them. Let me go back to 18 because I don't want you to lose the context. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. For they are many who strive with me. So now he's referring to those who are striving with him. And then he says in verse 19, God will hear and answer them, the ones who are coming against me. Even the one who sits enthroned from the old, with whom there is no change, and who do not fear God. You get that? He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He's talking about the one that is now enthroned, who is now king, the bad king. He's talking about his son, Absalom. He has violated his covenant. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. So here's what I want you to get from that. Look at verse 19. God will hear and answer them. Have you ever had some thems in your life that you need God to answer? Here's the thing. You need to allow God to answer them. You need to allow God to deal with them. Whatever thems you have in your life, put them in the hands of the Lord. Pour out your complaint. Pour out your fervent prayer. And say, God, deal with them. Let God answer them. So that brings us to our key text. Verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. But you, O God, will bring them down to the pit of destruction. He's making sure God remembers what he's supposed to do. Men of bloodshed and deceit will not live out their days, but I will trust in you. Now remember, the Psalms are songs that David wrote about his experiences, most of them. So David is taking us from the point where the coup took place, where he was shaken, where he was, you know, where he was, people were talking about him. He had to escape Egypt. That's usually what happens when a coup takes place in a country. The leader, the sitting leader, has to escape for his life because those who were trying to overthrow the government, they want to kill that person. Because they feel if they kill that person, they'll kill the regime that they have. So as we read this psalm, David is showing us what took place. I mentioned to you that this happened in 2 Samuel chapter 13 through chapter 18. I believe it's in chapter 18 that Absalom was killed. And David mourned his son's death. And then in chapter 19, David was returned to the throne. So when we see verse 22, we're seeing that David has now been returned to the throne. See, David ends this psalm with his testimony. Look, you can't have a testimony without a test. I like to say you can't have a money without a test. So David ends this with his testimony. And what he's saying is, look, I went through it. I was burdened down. But I made a decision to cast my burden on the Lord. That word cast means to throw away. To throw away. There's a old song called take your burdens to the Lord and leave them. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. So that means if you take your burden to the Lord and you leave it there, you can't go back and pick it up. God, can I have this back one more time? Just a minute. You have to take it to the Lord and leave it there. Look at somebody and just say to them, leave it there. Just don't pick it up. Don't pick it up. So David is saying, God sustain me through my burden. And I know he will sustain you through yours. I'm going to say that again. David is saying in this psalm, he's saying, look, he takes 21 verses to lay out his complaint and to paint for you how difficult this situation was, how hurtful it was. We all go through those times, but he's saying to you that in the midst of that, I cast my burden on the Lord and he saw me through. And he's saying to you, he's saying to me, he's saying to us, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you because he sustained me. And he ends with, he will never, in that verse, he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. David wrote in Psalm 34:19, many, it's one of my favorite verses, y'all, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, what does the Lord do? Delivers him out of them some, all of them two or three. Out of them Monday, Wednesday, Friday. There is not an affliction that you go through. There is not a burden that you go through that God can't and won't deliver you out of. You just got to cast it on him. David wrote in Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord continually before me. That is a way to cast your burden upon the Lord, because when you set the Lord before you continually, you're giving everything to him. So it says, I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Yes, you will have trials. Yes, you will have tribulations. Yes, you will have afflictions. Yes, you will have burdens. But if you cast them all on the Lord, you will never be shaken. 1 Peter 5:7, it's answering. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. God cares about you. I think one of the first feelings that we have when we're going through a difficult time is that, you know, God, you know what's going on? I mean, do you see what's happening? He knows. He knows, and he cares. But God is weird like that. You know, it's sort of like when Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick, and they called for him to come to town, and he stayed away for a couple of days. Why would he do that? Why would he not show up, quote unquote? Because he wanted to make sure that the situation got to the point of desperation, that no one else could get him out but him. God knows what's going on in your life. He knows. But God, if something doesn't happen by Friday, he knows. You just have to trust him. That's why the last thing David said in this psalm, but I will trust in you. We talked about this past Wednesday, Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord knows the plans that he has for you, right? Plans to not harm you, right? Plans to prosper you. God has the plan. He's not going to show you everything. So if you're that type of person who has to know everything before it happens, you're going, ooh, you're going to struggle. You got to trust God. Even when he doesn't show up when you think he should show up, cast your care upon him because he cares for you. God said to the children of Israel in Exodus 3:16, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. God is genuinely concerned about what is happening in your life. He's concerned. David said in Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. How many of you have ever been to the beach? How many of you have ever seen a beach on TV? Okay, good. The next time you see a beach or go to the beach, look at all that sand. And then think, his thoughts toward me are more than all of this sand. You think God could ever forget about you? Just cast your burden upon the Lord. I close with this. I'm going to sing a song. Because I want you to get a picture. I'm going to read something in Luke, the 13th chapter. Listen to this. Luke 13, verse 10. And he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your sickness. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. I wanted to read this because I want you to picture what this woman looked like for 18 years. For 18 years, she had a sickness, note, that was from a spirit, it says. And this woman had a sickness caused by a spirit. Now, some sickness that we get is because we eat bad. We don't exercise. We're not healthy. But some sickness is a spirit, and it needs to be rebuked. And so this woman, watch, this woman was bent over for 18 years. This is how she walked for 18 years. And this is how she walked. But one day, she walked into church and Jesus saw her. The Lord said, this is how some of you look spiritually. You've allowed the burdens to bend you over. And this is how you look spiritually. But God said, if you would give that burden to him, if you would cast it on him, then you can stand up straight in your spirit and be released from that burden. Some of you have had burdens so long, you don't even realize that they're there. Whew. I know I'm talking to somebody. So I want to pray right now, and then I'm going to go to the keyboard. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would minister to everyone this morning that identifies with this message. I pray that they would have the courage to cast their burden on you. Rico and Chuck, come on in. Chris. I pray that they would cast their burden on you. God, I don't want to be bent over anymore. I want to lift my head. I want to stand up straight. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it hurts. But God, in the midst of all that, as for me, I will trust in you. As for me, I will give you praise. As for me, I will not allow this situation to bend me over. As I sing this song, remember the words of our text. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. God wants to sustain you this morning. Just allow this song to be a blessing.
Surely God is my help. He is the one who sustains me. Surely God is my help. He is the one who sustains me. Oh, surely God is my help. He sustains me. Surely God is my help. He is the one who sustains.
Psalm 54 and 4, another Psalm of David.
Surely God is my help. Hallelujah. He is the one who sustains me. He is the one who
Hallelujah. God is my help. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Surely. Yeah. Oh, surely. Oh, surely. Hey, surely.
Take a moment and cast that care upon the Lord. Cast that burden, whatever it is. Come on, cast it upon the Lord.
Faithful one. Faithful to carrying me through, faithful one, faithful to carrying me through your faithful, your faithful. Carry me through your faithful, your faithful.
Come on, singers.
Your faithful to carry me through. Faithful.
Ready, get your ushers. Would you prepare? How many of you know that the Lord is faithful? God's going to carry you through. Ready to give, would you just lift that up? God, thank you for your faithfulness in our lives, and whether we're giving here in person or giving online, thank you that we're blessed to be a blessing. Come on, say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Come on, say it again. I'm blessed to be blessed to be a blessing. So God, we give with cheerful hearts, and we know that sometime in the future, when that seed comes forth, we're going to see a boom blessing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Come on, give with a cheerful heart this morning.
You're faithful.
Say,
you're faithful
to carry me through.
To carry me through.
You're faithful.
You're faithful.
couple announcements for you. All of the prime timers that are going on the outing to the Sight and Sound Theater in Branson, the final payment's due for today. So if you will see Gary or Paulette, if you need to see them about that, or if you check your email, the link that was sent to you for final payment, thank you for getting that in. And then also, as Pastor A said, this next Sunday is Improv Sermon Sunday. So you want to come for that. You never know. You might have a hand in the message being delivered. It could be you. It's going to be someone. So just come. Let's support that. Be involved in that. And it's not only our Improv Sermon Sunday. Our Energy Youth Takeover is going to happen that Sunday. The youth will be in here helping with service, different things, ministering to us. So you don't want to miss that. I know they're excited. I've heard them talking about it. But God bless you. Thank you.
Your faith.
You're faithful.
Come on, stand on your feet. We're going.
You're faithful.
Lift those hands. I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1 and 11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. I pray that you cast your burden upon the Lord,
yes, Lord.
For he cares for you. Hallelujah. Your faith ain't falsified. Testimony this morning. Say, he carried me. He carried me.